Galatians chapter 6, verses 1 to 10. Clearly, Paul has come to the end of his major discourse in this letter. He has taken the law teachers and their doctrine, and he has argued most resolutely, intrinsically, powerfully, convincingly, pleading with the Galatians to come back to the gospel, to Christ, to the Spirit, and give up the law. They're not under the law. The law could never justify them. The law can never sanctify them. As I say, he has argued out his case fairly fully. He still has some major things to say before he closes the letter. But the argument has been set out. I have tried in my way to set it out as clearly as I can for our generation. So what do we have in these verses here? Paul is continuing with this theme and turning it to practical good effect and making application of it to the lives of these believers. And he's making a series of contrasts here, driving home his point. Now, there's one aspect of this teaching that has not come over in my discourses. I have mentioned it, but not highlighted it. I refer to chapter 5, verse 15. If you keep on biting and devouring each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other. Chapter 5, verse 26. Let us not become conceited, provoking and envying each other. He's been contrasting in those passages the flesh, law, spirit, Christ, gospel. And what he is saying is that these two systems produce very different effects. And one of the effects he's after is this, that church life is not simply listening to teachers and going home again and then coming back next week and listening to more teachers to the next meeting, but is a mutual, self-fulfilling, if you like, self-edifying, members one of another. I'm trying to find the right words. There's an each other aspect about church life. Church life in the New Testament was a mutual affair. There were teachers and there were elders and rulers in the church. Instructors, yes. But the whole point of that instruction ministry, as far as the church was concerned, was to teach the church to edify itself. Ephesians chapter 4. It's come out in several discourses and in some of my books too. But here it is in this passage. Verse 15 again. You were destroyed by each other, devouring each other. Verse 26. Envying each other. And what Paul is after in Galatians is not merely theoretical, doctrinal ticks of boxes. It's got practical effect. And chapter 6, verses 1 to 10 is full of it. Brothers, if someone is caught in a sin, you who are spiritual should restore him gently. Today, the pastor does the restoring gently. That's what we expect. They go to seminars to train how to do it. No, no, no. In the New Testament, when we have the Spirit of God, believers do have the Spirit of God. When they're in the New Covenant, believers are in the New Covenant, we all mutually help each other because we're all spiritual. This is the difference between the believer and the unbeliever. The unbeliever is unspiritual. Oh, he may be interested in music and poetry and art and so on, but that's not spirituality. Real spiritual life, regeneration, spiritual appetite and desire comes only to those who are in Christ by the Spirit of God in the New Covenant. And those of us who are spiritual, that's all believers, it ain't just a few believers. There aren't people just delegated in the church to do the caring. We all care for one another. We restore one another gently, but we have to watch ourselves lest also we be tempted and carried away. There's obvious practical details here. Carry each other's burdens. It's a mutual life. And then comes this tremendous, almost seemingly throwaway phrase, few words. And in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. Paul loves playing on words. I've highlighted it in some of my books. He loves playing on words. They're not all Israel, which are Israel, and so on. He's fascinated, I think, by it. The law of Christ, not the law of Moses, you see. We're not under the law of Moses, this is his point. But we're under the law of Christ. Under law to Christ, as he says to the Corinthians. And he's coined a phrase here. And this is a brilliant summary of what I'm trying to put before you. You have a choice, the law of Moses or the law of Christ. And Paul goes on with this mutual thing, and I want to emphasize this mutual before I finish. If anyone thinks he's something, it's not just pastors and teachers and the seminary lecturers. All of us, each one of us should test his own actions. We can take pride in ourselves without comparing ourselves one with another. We're not proud. We shouldn't be proud. We're not exalting ourselves, pushing ourselves forward. We should carry our own responsibilities. We have responsibilities, but we also carry the loads of others and care for them too. So we try to help each other. We carry each other's burdens, verse 2. But we carry our own load in verse 5, where we're responsible, but we're helping all the time. But there is instruction, of course. Verse 6, anyone who receives instruction in the word, yes, praise God for it. The law of Christ does not do away with the instruction in the gospels, not at all. How can you say that in the light of this letter? How can you say that in the light of 1 John, for example? We have an unction from the Spirit, we know all things, we don't need a teacher, and yet he's teaching us. No, we need teachers, and they have to be supported. We must share in all good things with his instructor. Of course, that means financially as well. So I'm not against a stated ministry and supported ministry, not at all. But what I'm against is the one-man band. Then comes some strong words. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. If you sow law, you will reap law effects. If you sow flesh, you will reap flesh. A man who sows to please his flesh from the flesh will reap destruction. The one who sows to please the Spirit from the Spirit will reap life eternal. Here's the stark choice again. Spirit, law. Eternal life, destruction. These are the ultimate ends. These are very strong words. I'm not saying all law teachers are destroyed. I'm not saying that at all. But Paul said in chapter 5, the end of these things, if we go down that route, where will we end up? Departing from Christ. You may say, well, many people believe the law and teach the law, but they haven't departed from Christ. They're inconsistent. That's all I can say. Inconsistent. The truth is, Paul is putting the stark choice here to the Galatians. And then he encourages us. Let us not become weary in doing good. What does that mean? Spiritual good, of course, he's talking about. He's not talking about just goodness in itself, but spiritual good. For at the proper time, we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. This is a word of encouragement to all believers. The long-term effects of all this. Because it doesn't happen overnight. You preach law, you don't see much change. You preach grace, you don't see much change. People think there's no result, but there is a result. It's a harvest coming. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, and then come back to the mutual again, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. It's the mutual life and effect here. So what am I trying to say from this passage? Here is the law of Christ in action. It has this instruction in it, teachers, instructions, and we support them. But there also has this, and it's a tremendous emphasis here, upon this mutuality of spiritual life. This is the new covenant in action, and this is called the law of Christ. There's a long-term effect to it. You've got to look right down the ages, as it were, right down the time, right down to the future, eternity. And what do you see? There's two ways. There's always two ways in the Bible. Destruction, eternal life. The broad road, the narrow road. In Christ, out of Christ. In Christ, in Adam, and so on. Far off, near. Always the wise man, the foolish man. Sheep and goats. There's always darkness and light. There's always the two. And we have it here. And this is Paul speaking to the Galatians and saying, what I put before you is the law of Christ. It is spirit, love, mutuality. I want you to come back to Christ, Spirit, the Holy Spirit, love, mutuality, works of the Spirit, spiritual fellowship. The law teachers will take you to flesh, pride, heavy on the individual. Look at the long-term effects. Where's all your joy? Where's all your liberty? Where's all your mutual life? It's all fleshly arguing there now, isn't it? Would you have a fine spiritual life, believer? Would you have a fine spiritual assembly church? Would you? Yes, of course you would. Well, it's Christ, Spirit, love, emphasis on the mutual, under an instructive ministry. Would you go down the way of flesh? Would you go down the way of pride? Would you go down heavy on the individualistic approach? Then the law is the way. Is it the law of Moses for you, my friend, or the law of Christ? Preacher, do you preach Moses, or do you preach Jesus? I've given you my view time and again. I stand with John, and I know my choice. The law was given by Moses, praise God for it. It fulfilled its purpose. But grace and truth have come by Jesus Christ. An unbeliever, I just pass on a word to you. It's the same old word. You can go down the route of law by nature. You're in that route. I do this to please God. I'm doing this to satisfy my conscience. I'm doing this. You can only think in terms of flesh. Of course you can. You must be born again. Until you're in Christ, until you have the Spirit of Christ, you will never know eternal life. You must be born again. You must be born again. And the first mark of being born again is you will repent of your sins and trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. Well, this passage contains this phrase which has come resounding down the centuries. The law of Christ. The gospel. Spirit. Love. Mutual spirituality. The long-term effect, eternal life. God give me the law of Christ. God give me Christ himself every time.